Welcome to Making the Difference, the True North Conversations, powered by the purpose-led independent law firm, Brabners. I'm Michael Heyman, and over the course of 6 episodes, I'll be speaking to entrepreneurs and business leaders from across the North, each providing incredible insights, stories, and a commitment to people, communities, and the Northern economy. It's bold ideas for change from a constellation of Northern stars, doing things differently and making the difference. I'm speaking with Michelle Laithwaite, co-founder and CEO of the premium meal prep delivery service, Fuel Hub. Michelle, welcome to the True North Conversations. Great to see you.
Thank you.
Great reading about Fuel Hub. I mean, it's brought out the inner athlete in me in terms of the business. Tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah, so thank you. Great to be here. We are Fuel Hub. So we're a Warrington-based meal prep company. We deliver nationwide. So proud of our northern roots, but we do have a very big business across the country. We deliver by a subscription, weekly boxes of high protein, premium meal prep, which is essentially a ready meal,
right,
but super healthy. So not like the ones that you would see in the supermarket, which tend to contain a lot of ultra processed ingredients, chemicals that you can't necessarily pronounce, yeah, in the ingredients. Ours are very clean.
And a real reputation though, I mean, I was being slightly flippant about the athletes, but I mean, loved by a lot of high performance
absolutely
people. So how was that always baked in terms of the early days of the business, or is that something you've come along to as you've gone further into it?
Well, I think that my husband and co-founder James was a professional rugby player,
right,
so he played for Warrington Wolves, mm-hmm, our local club, obviously, for a long time, and so he's been an athlete. He understands the importance of nutrition in not just training but recovery. So there was always this element of, you know, to be a trusted brand, which was massively important to us, what is the, you know, the most trusted kind of ambassador you can get when it comes to nutrition, mm-hmm, and that is athletes. So it was very much a part of our strategy from the start. And we were lucky enough straight away to get a contract with Warrington Wolves, one that we still have today.
We've been having a lot of interviews today, and we've had sisters, we've had fathers and daughters, and now we have wives and husbands.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the relationship in terms, yeah, of being that kind of team, that kind of dynamic, and actually how you got going as an entrepreneurial double act.
Well, I mean, James and I are really lucky to be in this together because we do have a fantastic relationship. We're very different, mm-hmm, which I think works.
How so?
Well, James is our COO and I operate as our CEO. So, of course, I'm kind of working now more on the business as opposed to in it.
Right.
So, you know, I think you've got to take that step back to step forward, haven't you, in that kind of role. James is very operational, very granular in the day-to-day. So I feel like the dynamic is great between us. But we are quite different. Some people call us good cop, bad cop, as a joke, I think. But it works so well,
right,
you know, to go through this that we've been through together, because it's just all consuming, as you've probably, you know, spoken about today a lot of the time. It never ends, right? It's intense, mm, you know, and to have somebody that thoroughly understands exactly what you're going through when you go home at the end of the day and it continues through the night. You know, we operate 7 days a week. We start at 4, you know, we're in till sort of 10. It's never ends. Mm. So it's that support that we can give one another, which is massively important.
And what's going back to the early days, the aha moment, you mentioned kind of obviously James's role as a professional sports player, but in terms of the real drive to understand, well, actually, there's a gap in the market. We could build a business here. Was this the sort of the kitchen table moment, right, in terms of actually, I think about the early days, the startup days. How did it happen?
It literally was. It was a case of James was injured quite a lot. He was played with injury, unfortunately. I mean, he's had 4 broken legs, mm, all on the same leg. And actually, the first time that, ouch, I watched James play, yeah, he invited me along to a game, which was at the AJ Bell Stadium. He broke his neck in front of me. He was fine. It wasn't a severe break, but it was quite enough to make him realise, actually, this probably isn't for me. Mm. And also, I actually thought I might be a bad omen, so I'm surprised I got invited again, but I did. And it's funny because actually, you know, we always sort of laugh because it was at the AJ Bell Stadium and Andy Bell became an investor of ours, so it's quite a poignant thing. But so I think he was interested in nutrition. I was working in fashion at the time, so I was traveling a lot. I was doing a lot of international travel. Mm-hmm. We were super, super busy, but we both wanted healthy, convenient food.
Right.
And it was a problem for us. And we tried a lot of the meal kit companies, which are great. They have their place, but you still have to cook it. You still have to clean, you know, and it still takes you a long time. We were time poor. Mm. We had, you know, at the time, my son Stanley, who's six now, wasn't here, but my eldest son Alfie was. And we were traveling, you know, training. And it was like, you know, how could we get ready meals that are healthy for us?
But I think sometimes in kind of when you listen to entrepreneurial stories is that it all sounds like, and one success followed another.
Yeah.
But actually, even just crossing that Rubicon of actually saying, we are going to give up my career in fashion, give up my career in sport, and we're going to go for this.
Yeah.
In terms of that kind of, I suppose, that sense of risk, that sense of journey, how did that sort of show up for you in terms of, I mean, what was ever a consideration? Was there ever worry?
Yeah, of course there was. I mean, for me, me and James are very similar. I've always been a person that, you know, I'm from Tildesley in Greater Manchester, you know, very working class family. We didn't have much when we were kids. I don't have any education really. I was a bit of a rebel at school, if you like.
Yeah.
But I was always very confident and very strong-willed. You know, if there's something I wanted to do, I was doing it. Mm. Same with James. He's a rugby player. You know, you need that mentality as well. And when we...
So resilient.
Resilience.
Characters.
Very right. much so, the two of us together. And you put us both together, and that's obviously, you know, a very, very strong thing for two people that are very similar. And we just identified this problem for us. And we were like, we should build the product that solves our problem, but solves all our friends' problems and their friends' problems. And this was 2019, of course, because this is pre-COVID. But people were getting very, very, very much, you know, they were focused on health and fitness, high protein. We all know now, in the past 5 years, everybody's turned to high protein diets because we now understand there's more education and science around it. But we were quite nearly adapted to that.
Well, I can see that. And I mean, you've really got this business going, right? And in terms of actually when... I mean, like 300% year on year growth. I mean, it's a great success story. And when did you first get the sense that we're really onto something here? Was there a kind of like a moment where, whoa, this is happening?
I mean, it was COVID, really. We launched the business in August 2019, and I was 8 months pregnant at the time, and we'd rented a small space in Warrington, 900 square feet. We'd got our equipment together. We'd invested in, put 20K in there, in, you know, building this kitchen. And the weekend that we launched, we spent about £1,000 on a website. And the weekend that we launched, I went into labour early and gave birth on the day we launched business.
You've certainly given yourself a series of challenges.
So straight away, we were like, okay, this is going to be a challenge. So 4 days after
new
Sandy
business,
was
new
born.
Child, yeah. New pandemic.
Exactly. So new baby and the business baby. So we, 4 days later after giving birth, Stanley was in with me at work. So it kind of was just head down. And then as we sort of approached 2020, the early start of the year, we decided to go from being an e-com website, just where you came on and placed an order, to a subscription. So we built a second website because we'd built a lot of traction and we got this contract with Warrington Wolves, and that in itself had kind of resulted in other teams coming on board. So the B2B side of the business was strong.
So it strikes me that early on, there were some very important, whether you would call them support structures or belief structures around you. So whether that was investors, early customers, all the things that I suppose were proof of concept type moments. I mean, I'm just sort of thinking about entrepreneurs that might be watching this and they might be saying, well, this is a really rarefied story because, you know, AJ Bell Stadium leads you to your investor, your customer. Is there a learnable lesson, do you think, for other entrepreneurs in terms of actually how to get that early phase right in terms of setting the conditions for success well?
Definitely. I think for us, I worked with brands for many, many years in fashion. So from Nike to Versace and Diesel back in the day when that was big brands. I mean, hundreds and hundreds of brands. So for me, James brought the nutrition expertise and the sporting background. I brought that kind of brand and business acumen, and I'd had a couple of businesses myself before. So I understood about building something that customers would relate to and trust, and also identifying a gap in the market. You know, there were other people in our space. Well, how are we going to be different? Why would a customer that wants this product choose us over somebody else? Mm-hmm. And that was a strong brand, those athletes that, you know, the endorsement by, you know, athletes, and also, you know, having that, just the trust element of it.
And I think underpinning that, I mean, just reading a little bit about the business is a real skill at storytelling, which might be that, but all those things might add up to it, right? But I mean, at the end of the day, the reputation is in front of you, isn't it? Because people get the story and that, and they're coming to you with their custom.
That's it. And I think, you know, nowadays people want to see the founders of a business. Mm. You know, if somebody's spending £70 a week with you for you to send them a box of food, you know, they want to know where it's being made, where the HQ is, which we show quite often on our social channels. Everything's manufactured in-house. And they want to know the team, who the founders are, what's their story, why did they build this business? And we were solving our own problem to begin with, and we want to now solve the problems that other people have.
Right, so Warrington,
yes.
HQ, right the heart of a northern business, right? You know, let's talk about identity.
Yeah.
Let's talk about, I guess, provenance of where you're from in terms of actually the sort of business that you've built.
Yeah, I mean, James is Warrington born and bred. Mm-hmm. I'm from Tilsley, worked in Manchester for a long time. Warrington's a great place, and, you know, the position that we're in is an amazing location. Many of our competitors are based down south. Right. We're the only one in the north, I believe. And apart from Gusto, who are obviously Meal Kit, who are just around the corner from us. Basically, it gives us this fantastic location of being right near all the main hubs for the couriers. So we have a DPD depot right near us, huge, you know, breaks where we get some of our produce from, fantastic local suppliers, Cheshire on the doorstep for produce. It's a great place for us to be. And I'm really proud of our northern roots.
Going to the roots a bit, I mean, those are really compelling, I suppose, sort of like functional and factual reasons about why a business like this is well placed. But what about the attitude that you get? Do you think there's anything in that?
Oh, 100%. You know, Northerners are built on grit, right? And resilience and, you know, my working class background. And I was brought up to be taught that you work hard, whatever you do. And that's what I grew up with. And, you know, I didn't go to college or uni. I was straight into the workplace. And I just basically had this, you know, kind of mindset of whatever I do, I've got to make the best out of it.
You mentioned that a couple of times, Anne, but in terms of not doing that, how do you interpret that? Do you interpret that as opportunity or regret, I guess?
Opportunity. Yeah.
So talk us through what the opportunity, I mean, obviously, you built a fantastic business, but presumably it's given you other opportunities as well.
Yeah, I think it just gives you, it gives you fire in your belly, really. Mm. And it gives you this, you know, ultimately, you know, I come from a place of working hard, strong work ethic. I think a lot of the people that, you know, I grew up with were exactly the same. And it gave me a different drive. I think it gave James a different drive. And I just feel like it's that kind of northern spirit that really gets us, you know, gets us up in the morning, I guess.
And I get that. And also, though, I think that, you know, you're also somebody who speaks your mind. I mean, so I was looking at your latest post on ambition and motherhood, and, you know, I mean, these are other factors that are part of your mix, right? I mean, tell us a little bit about, you know, what you're thinking about, Michelle, in terms of that particular issue as it pertains to business.
Yeah, I think, you know, for me, I'm 43. I have two boys, one at 6, one at nearly 14. So I'm navigating all those challenges that you would at that age. And there's a lot going on. And I feel like, you know, I do have a voice. I have a strong voice. I'm quite, you know, I've got quite a lot of opinions on that side of things. Yeah. So I do sort of vocalise it. I've always been that way.
But you've got a frustration on this issue, haven't you?
Yeah, I guess a little bit in terms of, you know, it is tougher for women, I feel. I think that, you know, a lot of the time I'll always say, you know, I've been sat in board meetings and, you know, Stanley's fallen over at school and hurt himself. And, you know, immediately the school ring mum because, you know, mum is just, and it's I feel like the females do tend to have, I mean, James is amazing. We, you know, very progressive household in terms of we share everything, but I think mums still get, you know, and women still get the brunt of everything. And it's hard. It's hard. Very challenging.
Right. I mean, and I suppose in terms of how that, how you move the dial on for future entrepreneurs, because, you know, a big opportunity is for more women entrepreneurs to do better, set up more businesses, go further, go faster. But that's not going to be done unless the conditions are right, the support structures are right.
Yeah.
I mean, are there, I mean, we're talking, it's a platform, or are there things you'd share in terms of actually what could be done, let's say in a localized setting, like in the north?
I think that for me, I've often tried to find and source, you know, groups of women that are like me, that I can go and sit with and share and talk and encourage one another. I can't find anything. So I can't find a group anywhere of women
so
CEOs.
So the connectivity.
Connectivity, 100%, you know. Where is that? Where is that sense of? And I feel like, you know, that would be massively important. You know, I've got friends and family that I can speak to, but I don't really have anybody that's a female CEO and founder like me who's going through these things that I could actually bounce off properly. So I think that's really important.
I tend to think I'll get this interview out. There might be a few people picking up the phone.
Hopefully.
Or that, but I think there is it's a good question for entrepreneurs, which is kind of like at the apex of a business, everybody expects that you've got the answers. But how you stay innovative, where you find your learnings is a really interesting question, I think, because actually everybody's got a slightly different answer for it. Some people actually plateau and they kind of just repeat.
Yeah.
Other people have this kind of quest to get better all of the time. And I kind of sense that in your businesses that there's a performance aspect all of its own. It's not just about supplying athletes with high performance diets. There's a high performance business here. How do you maintain the innovation culture?
Well, yeah, I mean, we're constantly innovating. We're constantly looking at how we can better. We are very, very close to our customers. So our subscribers we speak to, we ask them what they want from us. Mm. And, you know, it's important to...
So responsiveness.
Absolutely. And it's important to sort of say that we don't just supply athletes and fitness goers. We cater for what we call an everyday high performer. And that can be anything from an athlete right down to a school teacher or a mum that's at home, busy families, people that we want to fuel to be the best that they can be, to perform the best at the day. And that ripples through the team. I mean, we're on 40 staff now, really high performing team, most of which have come through the ranks with us. And I think innovation is something that we're developing new ranges. So we've got our main Fuel Hub range. We're just about to launch a children's range so that we can support families, which is really important. And that coincides with a new...
And an enormous marketplace.
I
mean, I'm just thinking about the, you know, the rise of Strava, other sorts of businesses, right, in this space. I mean, do you sense this is one of those sectors where we've hardly got going yet, or are the conditions for it already established?
I think both. I think there's some great brands that have come through. I think convenience, healthy eating, I feel like, you know, everybody is onto it, basically. I mean, our growth has been phenomenal. I mean, you know, next year we'll be touching, you know, surpassing the 10 million revenue mark, and that is literally from a kitchen table idea 6 years ago. To being at that revenue. And then that really does compound. There's a real excitement around our industry. And I think we have a really sustainable attitude as well in terms of we're a zero waste model. We have sustainable packaging. We do quite a lot in the community. We've actually just signed a deal with Man City to provide food for all of their soccer schools for Man City in the community. So we're trying to become more of a family business, if you like, as well, which is amazing. And, you know, we are constantly innovating.
I mean, it's brilliant. I mean, it's just such a journey for you. I mean, and you know, it brings us to being able to say congratulations on becoming one of our Northern Stars. And I think just this final question we've been asking all the interviews is kind of like this idea that a true north is also a directional point in terms of somewhere you want to get to. And, you know, the journey that you and James have gone on has been an incredible one of actually these waypoints of success where you've taken the brand from a startup to actually surviving a pandemic to suddenly becoming the choice of these incredible world-class brands. Where does it go for you personally?
I think we want to take this as far as we can go. We want to be the UK's most trusted meal prep brand. We want to diversify product. There's different opportunities that have come to us, which are super exciting. And we're looking into everything that comes to us. But, you know, we're really proud of what we've achieved. And, you know, we've got amazing partnerships with Matru, Medihearn, you know, Man City now, and all these amazing things. And we just have to focus on our mission and keep the product exceptionally premium, and built it on, you know, keep building the brand based on trust, premium quality, and just keep going and going and take it as far as we can. We'd love to be a household brand in the UK and who knows where else in the future.
Would you do it differently if you could start again?
Never. I have honestly loved every single moment of it. And you know what I would always say is, just to finish on, is we have never at any point not believed in what we were doing, or ever thought when we couldn't pay staff or we were just, you know, crying from exhaustion. We never, ever, ever had any doubt that we would make this work. So, and that's a testament to our whole team, our customers, you know, and our team past and present. There's been people that we've, you know, had work for us over the years that aren't here anymore because the business is different. They're different, but they're a part of the journey. Mm. And, you know, everybody's had their part to play. It's not just about me and James. It's about the whole team and our customers as well. So,
Michelle, what a masterclass in conviction, passion, entrepreneurship. It's been brilliant. Thank you for sharing the story of Fuel Hub with us on the True North Conversations.
Thank you.